Hey, everybody. I'm Liz Nolly.
I'm Carrie Thomas.
And welcome to the Just Us podcast, a space for Black women navigating corporate spaces.
Hey, Liz.
Hey, Carrie. Wait. In homage to our last episode, looking good, Carrie.
Feeling good, Liz.
Hey.
I know, I can't believe that we did not wrap up the episode by saying that after I've been saying it for like the past
like the
2 weeks.
Shout out to Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd and the legendary cast and crew that brought us Trading Places.
Absolutely. If you did not listen to the last episode, please go back and listen because you'll find out some of our favorite work.
Yeah. And speaking of last episode, you like my Radio Raheem inspired t-shirt.
Love it. So, love, not hate, though.
Fight the power. Like,
Hey, Sal. Because we ain't got no brothers up on the wall.
And speaking of...
We'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that another episode. But what are you wearing? I love this.
Oh, thank you. This shirt is I Am Authentic. A friend of mine produced this shirt. I cannot remember the name of her company
now.
But we'll put it in the
show notes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Shout her out. Shout out to Vanna. Thank you.
Hey, Vanna. Nice shirt. Nice shirt. Come on the podcast. Come on the show, Vanna.
It's her and her daughter, actually.
Love that. We have to have them on the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll reach out.
Yeah.
She'll be excited.
Yeah, that's something different that we're doing this season is that we're going to be bringing on a few guests to come and hang out with us.
Yes.
Which we're very excited about.
We won't give away any
nothing
keep
yet.
It hush, hush until we're ready to unveil.
And something else that we're doing this right now until the middle of February is giving our listeners and subscribers and those who join our inner circle a discount at the store at listenpurposecoach.com/store we're giving you 20% off, but because you're watching, the discount code is J15-2026 in honor of all the Divine Nine January babies who celebrate their Founders Days. And everybody else can log on to our inner circle, which is our private community of our listeners and subscribers. And, log on for other like merchandise giveaways and things like that.
Yeah.
And they can just log on to lizthepurposecoach.com/invite for all the details for this promotion and other promotions that will be coming.
Yeah. Come join us in the inner circle.
In the inner circle to keep the conversation going.
But before you do that,
yeah,
let's get to the readout.
Yes. I think this letter writer calls herself looking for a sponsor, not just a cheerleader.
Mm.
And I think she could definitely benefit from not just this episode, but some of the tools that we have and resources that are up there in the Inner Circle
Absolutely.
Community website. So let's get into the readout.
Okay.
She writes, "Dear Liz and Carrie, I was listening to a previous episode where you talked about the importance of having a sponsor at work. And it really stuck with me. I've heard people talk about mentors before, but sponsorship feels different and honestly a little intimidating." Yeah, we get that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because there's infrastructure and structure around mentorship and programs. And mentoring is big in our community anyway. And it's big in corporate environments, too. So it's something we easily connect with because there's a lot of infrastructure built to support mentorship.
But people, I've heard many people, particularly Black women, who are in corporate sort of midway up the ladder, who are like, what is sponsorship? Because they don't learn about it until they hear about it from someone who is doing it or has one.
Exactly. And that's why we created this space to help them navigate those dynamics. So she goes on to say, my question is, how do you actually find a sponsor or even know if you already have one? Mm. You mentioned that a sponsor might not be someone you know, which surprised me. I always assumed sponsorship meant a very senior leader formally taking you under their wing, but that hasn't been my experience. I work hard, I deliver results, and people seem to like working with me, but I'm not sure if that translates into someone advocating for me behind closed doors. How do I tell the difference between someone who supports my work and someone who is truly sponsoring or advocating for me? And if I don't have a sponsor yet, what are some realistic ways to build those relationships without it feeling forced or transactional? I'd love your advice, especially for those of us navigating corporate spaces without a clear roadmap. Sign, looking for a sponsor, not just a cheerleader.
Mm.
Go.
Well, I was going to ask you. I have some questions here.
Okay.
So let's start out, and then you can, you know, impart your wisdom, because after all, you are the coach. So when she says, I always assume sponsorship meant a very senior leader formally taking you under their wing, but that hasn't been my experience. I work hard, I deliver results, and people seem to like working with me. In my experience, you may not know that you have a sponsor, but what is beneficial is finding someone who is not your direct manager or direct leader and building a relationship, showing them your value, not as a mentor, but just as someone you build a relationship with. And very often that person will speak on your behalf.
Yeah, that's one pathway to sponsorship.
Okay.
So let's just take a step back and make sure we're all on the same page with what do we mean when we say sponsorship?
Yeah.
Right? Because a sponsor could be somebody you know and build a relationship with, or might be someone you've never met and you don't know who's in there, but you got on their radar. So they're like, yeah, I want this person.
But right? You can't control that one, though, can you?
No. Yes and no.
Okay.
But we'll get into
that. That's the cheat code.
That's the cheat code. So what you can control is how you move and how you navigate, how you manage your personal brand, right?
Mm-hmm.
How you manage, and we talk about the conversation about you in whatever environment you're navigating. You can control how you work and the work product and the excellence that you bring to that. You can control how you manage your relationships with other people at all levels of the hierarchy. You know, don't underestimate being nice to the gatekeepers, the EAs and the admins and stuff like that. They are sometimes more plugged into the top brass than anybody else,
mm-hmm.
You know, and so so there are aspects of the process that you totally control. What you don't control is like you put that energy out into the universe. You don't control where and how it lands. Right. So that's why you just have to be consistent about managing the conversation, managing your personal brand, because you never know who's watching.
Okay.
You never know who's watching. One of our former international presidents of our sorority told me that.
Yeah.
And it's so true. You never know who's watching. And that's true, you know, down the ladder, right? The people behind you, subordinates or trainees or interns or whoever, the people coming up behind you. But there's people above you or horizontal or who are moving in places and spaces that you're not moving in, that are watching too.
Right.
You just never know.
You never know.
But so let's just take a step back. What do we mean by sponsor? A sponsor isn't somebody that's just going to give you guidance, mentor, and feedback. That's more of a mentor kind of a role. Or in some cases, it's a manager. Your manager will give you feedback, right?
Right.
But a sponsor is someone that's going to use their, you know, social capital and make an investment in you. And you may not even realize that they're doing it, right? And often there's mutual benefit. There's a benefit to them because they want a good person on their team, or they want, somebody with your specific skills and experiences or whatever to come over and help them solve a problem, right? And in the process, you win, they win, right?
Yeah.
And it's someone who's going to use their influence and social capital on your behalf when you're not in the room. That's a sponsor. And sponsors can put your name forward for opportunities. Mm-hmm. They can advocate for you at at compensation decision time. They can
Absolutely.
Put you forward for stretch assignments, promotions, or visibility. So that's what we mean by a sponsor. And there's a big part of sponsorship as a professional that's a faith walk.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's sort of like, as Black women, a lot of us are in touch with the concept, you know, you walk by faith, not by sight.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a belief that if you do that and you do the things that the word and or whatever you believe in, the book that you follow tells you to do, that there will be some sort of a reward down the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and sometimes the reward is just satisfaction of knowing you did the right thing.
Right.
And sometimes the reward is milk and honey and riches and stuff. And sometimes it's a ticket to heaven or, you know, or whatever. However you define that reward,
yeah.
Right? Sometimes it's tangible and sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
But you stay the course even if you don't immediately see the reward. You have to stay faithful, right? So it is an act of faith in somewhat that somebody will see and feel that energy and all that good work that you're putting out in the universe, and it's going to come back to you because it's going to land in front of the right person who can ultimately open a door of opportunity for you.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a faith walk.
Faith is a good word because you could never know if that opportunity came to you because someone pushed your name forward for it, or if you were just in line for that. Like,
right.
So you can hope that you have a sponsor, but in some cases you might never know for sure.
Right. And so in that way, I think we have to let go of the idea that you find a sponsor,
mm-hmm.
and reframe it as your sponsor will find you. But you have to stay the course and stay faithful, stay consistent, keep leading and operating with excellence, because you never know where that's going to land.
That's the best way to do it.
You know, just like you can get shunned or blackballed or, you know, like put on the outside.
Right.
If you run around, you know, bad mouthing people or treating people badly, you'll have a reputation that precedes you.
Right.
And it's so the part of the process that you control is making sure that the reputation that precedes you is a positive one, because again, you don't know where it's going to land.
Right. The key here is, you know, it exists, but you have to do the work in order to position yourself for it.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you can leverage your purpose to be strategic about the work that you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be intentional about mm-hmm. how you move so that you're telegraphing
right.
what you
That's
want,
it.
You know, the opportunities that you want. It's almost like you're your own personal radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know for myself, I messed around years ago and accidentally on purpose taught myself how to build websites. Right. And I'll put this in the context of my sorority wall for mm-hmm. those that know me. And for years, there were people in the sorority who thought I did IT and built websites for a living because I wound up doing a lot
that's
of
what you were doing.
That's what I was doing in my volunteer life. But the reason why I liked leaning into that in my volunteer life was because I wasn't exposed to it in my professional life, but it was a skill set that I wanted to learn because I knew eventually I could leverage it and add it to my career, my paid career portfolio.
Yeah.
Right. So for a long time, you know, leadership would call me and say, oh, I heard you were the person that did X, Y, and Z thing. You know, I want you on my team to do this. That's right. Sponsorship. Like, yeah. I didn't raise my hand. I didn't apply. A lot of times I didn't know leadership personally and things like that. But yeah. my work was out there because that's – and my work was – my radio station was tuned to this text right. frequency.
Yes.
Right? And so leadership was always, you know, like had a need for that. Yeah. And, you know, so it created opportunities for me. And it was always fascinating to me because I was like, I got to a point where I was like, I'd rather do communications because that's more my professional wheelhouse mm-hmm. and use my professional skills to benefit the yeah. sorority. And, you know, when I said that to one of the leaders, she was like, okay, that's cool. But will you oversee tech? I said, yeah, I'm happy to oversee tech, but I really would rather walk in more of a communication strategic kind of a space, right. you know, and everything. And now my frequency is totally tuned into mm-hmm. leadership development, and that's what I'm telegraphing,
yeah.
right? So, and I actually have an opportunity, led to an opportunity for me to work with our undergraduates as part of our, you know, leadership development program, you know, here in our region, you know, because you telegraph these things. And leadership was like, I need a person. I need, you know, a couple more people to join this team. And leadership asked me, would I do that and would I help out over here? I was actually helping out somewhere else. But that's how sponsorship works.
Yeah.
Right?
So is it a formal process where you, you know, somebody says, hey, I'm your sponsor, or there's a title that goes to it, like with mentor? You can say that's... So-and-so is my mentor.
No, it's a strategic faith walk.
Yeah.
Like we said, like, you know, you have to lean into the excellence that's inside of you and lean into your purpose and lean into the things that you are called, created, you know, and wonderfully made to do, right? With the belief that when you do, it will manifest, or the universe will send you back opportunities that's aligned with that. That's why purpose is so important. Where you point that compass is yeah. where it's going to go. And you have to really manage and be thoughtful about what you're telegraphing, because it will come back to you. Like, there was a time when I was getting calls from recruiters and stuff like that about jobs that I did not want and was not interested in.
Yeah.
But then when I looked at like what I was telegraphing, like my LinkedIn profile and, mm-hmm. and things of that nature and stuff, I was like, oh, that's why. And, you know, and every time I talked to a recruiter, they would tell me, oh no, I would, you know, we've been trying to source this position and we've been talking to a lot of people and your name has come up by 3 or 4 different people. That's sponsorship,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. I don't know who those 3 or 4 people are. I have right. no clue, you know, unless somebody picks up the phone and says, hey, I recommended right. you over here, but usually they don't. Usually it's like, oh, do you know anybody who might be good? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, years ago I worked with this woman named Liz and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's how sponsorship works. And there's, I know, because my inner control freak struggled with the idea of sponsorship until I experienced how it worked for myself. Yeah. Then I was like, then I learned to like let some stuff go. There is a huge aspect of sponsorship that you don't control.
Right.
Like I said, you control the frequency
yeah,
and the
you
message
have to put
that
it
you
out
broadcast.
There. And that's what but the you, takeaway is. Like, you, what am I putting out there that might resonate with people?
That's right. Again, but you don't control where it lands.
Yeah. Now, you don't control where it lands. Mm-hmm. You don't know if it's happening. But how can you... I'm going to say surmise, because mm-hmm. we don't assume around here. We surmise.
Right.
That you might have a sponsor. You might have someone out there dropping your name on yeah. tables in closed rooms, so to speak.
So sometimes you get clues in little ways,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you can meet somebody for the first time and they'll say, oh, you're Carrie. Oh, yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about you. Wait, Carrie, didn't you work
you did
with...
the blah, blah, blah,
didn't
blah.
Didn't you do the da-da-da-da? That's how you know sponsorship is happening in your orbit, right? Like little clues like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might have friends that say, hey, would you ever be interested in blah, blah, blah? Why? Well, I don't know. I don't have anything right now, but I was talking to some, you know, I was talking to somebody else and, but I didn't want to put your name forward without, you know, if it wasn't something you were interested in.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so sponsorship works on a lot of different levels.
Yeah.
Like, so it can come through somebody that you do know who reveals themselves to you as a sponsor, or it could be somebody that is talking about you or your work or what have you, and you don't even know the conversation's taking place.
My experience, one of my experiences was I had a manager who was a friend of mine, not you, another one. It was a guy. And he came to me and he was telling me that one of the EVPs was like, oh my God, I love her. She's blah, 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 this, blah, 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 that. And so now they want you to work on this project. That's sponsorship. Like, not the person who told me, but the fact that that senior person recognized me and was talking so well about me, that was like, yeah, I want to do stuff with her.
So one of the, I love that you said that because one of the things that you can do to make sure that the frequency that your station is putting out there lands is do your own 360s. What do I mean by that? You know, some organizations have like 360, performance reviews. So they require, I've worked places where when I was a people manager, I was required or our people were required to go out or I was required as a manager to go talk to like different people who work with them, peers, subordinates, superiors, clients, partners, et cetera. And use all of that collective input when I was doing their performance review.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to just do it at performance review time. You get a win with a big EVP that way.
Yeah.
Most EVPs have gotten to where they are because they understand the value of please and thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Most of them are very good at if you do something great for them, they will let other people know. They'll come back to your boss and say, oh, Carrie did a great job on blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
They do that as a matter of course.
Yeah.
If you're not used to it or what have you, or if they tell you, Carrie, you know, thank you so much. You did just a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
You can ask them, oh, thanks, Liz.
Yeah.
I wonder, would you do me a huge favor?
Exactly.
And just drop a note to my boss about that. It would really go a long way.
Yep.
Just, you know, just so she knows that you're happy.
Yeah.
Because if you're happy, we're all happy. Or that's however you have to have that conversation.
Yeah. I mean, and granted, it has a lot of weight if it comes from a senior level, but your counterparts can do the same as well. Or people that you work with, clients or your business partners that might be at different levels. It 100%. All benefits you and it all helps to hone your signal that you're telegraphing.
Exactly. So ask your client, your customer, your colleague, if they're giving you kudos, ask them to just shoot your leadership a note.
Yeah.
About it. And I'm sure they'll be happy to do it. But then the other thing that you can do to telegraph that you're a leader is if somebody helps you and does a big thing with them, give them a shout out to their leadership. That makes you look like a rock star who gets it.
Yeah.
Because the senior leader that you're giving the kudos to, the feedback.
And they're going to say,
oh.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they do as senior leaders.
Exactly, yeah.
Aha.
Aha.
Going back to our previous episode. Well, I'm going to make that a thing on the show. But yeah, so that helps you get on the radar mm-hmm. of people in positions to sponsor you by doing that 360 and then offering that 360 feedback to your peers and colleagues where there's nothing in it for you other than to say, hey, so and so did a great job for me.
Right.
Oh, okay. And they'll say, oh, and the manager will say, oh, okay, thank you for your feedback. But they'll also start to look at you differently and say, oh, Carrie's a leader because mm-hmm. that's what leaders do.
Yeah. You're following that same behavior pattern. The good ones don't follow the negative behavior.
Right. I mean,
yes.
So sponsorship.
And they recognize that.
100%. I mean, so at the end of the day, sponsorship, it's not about being liked or networking and building relationships and, you know, crawling over your peers, crabs in a barrel, clawing your way to the top and throwing other people in the bus or anything. It's really just about navigating and managing your personal brand, the conversation around you, what you're telegraphing out there in a very intentional way, and having faith that it will land and being open to the opportunities when it does that might come your way.
Yeah.
That's really what it's about.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I learned a lot. Thank you.
Oh, good. Well,
I needed to know that because I too had questions about sponsorship.
Yeah. So looking for a sponsor, not a cheerleader. Hopefully that answered your question and gave you some nuggets and tips and strategies that you can use.
Yeah.
Hit us in the comments. Let us know what you think. And if you're out there and you have additional advice and insight on sponsors, you know, when you know who your sponsor is or you come across somebody who's in a position to be a sponsor to you, that's a much easier thing. But a lot of times you may never, ever know that person until it's revealed to you that they were behind an opportunity that came your way.
Yeah.
And you have to be okay with that.
Right.
That's where your faith and your purpose come in.
Exactly. Until then, do the work, as they say.
Do the work.
You've climbed the ladder, checked all the boxes, yet still something's missing. You crave more than just success. You want significance, a career aligned with your purpose. I help corporate women bridge the gap between what they do and who they are. Through transformational coaching, I guide you to gain clarity, align your work with your calling, and lead with confidence and purpose. So whether you're ready for a shift, a breakthrough, or a new beginning, you don't have to navigate it alone. Purpose discovery and activation, leadership and professional development, mentoring and coaching, all designed for high-achieving women ready to do meaningful work. I'm Liz, the Purpose Coach. Let's align your ambition with your assignment. Book your free discovery call today at LizThePurposeCoach.com.
So. What we got next?
Yeah, so now that we have taken on some serious business, what we thought we would do is our favorite segment.
Ooh.
Boss it or toss it. Wait, how come my mother told me, oh, I love that boss it or toss it that you and Carrie do.
Oh, thank you.
Like, I mean, I don't work anymore, but I do like the boss it or toss it. I was like, okay, because she's retired.
Yes. That's awesome.
I was like, oh, okay, thanks for listening, Mom.
Listen,
love
our
you.
Faithful listener, okay?
Okay.
I appreciate her for that. We will always have one listener at least one.
And since, you know, we have a vision for the podcast,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the vision for the podcast is ultimately, like we said in season two, this is season two, we're going to be bringing on guests
mm-hmm.
and ultimately when we conclude and we want to gear up and set the stage for kicking off season 3 with a live show.
Be still, Amira's heart.
Okay. Yes, Amira's like so happy right now. I wish y'all could see him.
Was that the Arsenio Hall? Roo, 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 roo.
we want to kick off season 3 with a live show, and ultimately the dream is to take Just Us on the road to different cities and different states and have live studio audiences of women and professionals that we do this in front of in a live audience. Yeah. And take it on the road. But to do that, you know, we're still young in this game.
We are infants.
But we gain inspiration from people who have been walking this walk and walking
Absolutely.
It for a long time.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what helped to frame this episode's Boss It or Toss It. You want to tell the people
okay.
what we're going to be talking about?
So we're gonna boss or toss TV talk show host.
Woo, 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 woo.
Ladies and gentlemen,
your host, Liz and Carrie, Just Us Podcast.
Just Us Podcast.
Okay.
And so,
well, you
and, want, it, and it's, let me just say this, it's all love.
And even it's if, all love.
And even if we toss somebody, we're still not above coming on your show.
I'm saying, as my friend says, all I got is these jokes. So, you gonna take these jokes? You want me to throw these out there for you?
Yeah, why don't you run through
I'm
the list.
I'm gonna go down the list.
Tell us what's on the list.
I'm just gonna call them out. I'm not gonna set it up.
Okay.
The Jennifer Hudson Show. J. HUD.
Although I do plan to send her a Just Us mug because I know she.
I mean, absolutely.
Mugs. I just and
how did you know we were gonna toss it?
I love J. HUD's like success story from American Idol and everything, but.
She is with my ex-husband, so I'm happy for them.
Yeah.
She's a sweetie, but...
Yeah. The show.
Yeah. Now, we may have tossed the J. HUD show, but that spirit tunnel...
Boss spirit tunnel. Like... Jennifer Hudson, whoever does the spirit tunnel, you don't pay them enough.
Awesome.
It is awesome, awesome.
I love what
awesome.
They do.
I love it. They could just, that could be the whole show.
I mean, who doesn't Aaron Pierre, that's Mufasa, at least once a week?
At least once a week. And Amir.
It's never going
Amir
anywhere.
Amir rolls in here like Usher going down the spirit tunnel on his roller skates all the time. Like, shout out to Amir.
Have you ever seen that one? Okay.
Shout out to Usher and Amir for their roller skating prowess. Our director is a professional
Amir's
roller
like,
skater. He's a Renaissance man.
I did not tell you all of that stuff
to put
for
my
you
business
to...
out there. But I respect people who can roller skate and then make you feel something and bring the entertainment value and everything. So I'm just saying, Usher, Amir, like... Usher, like J. HUD,
it's
you got
love.
J-HUD Spirit Tunnel production producer, segment producer, you got to get
Boss.
Our director on.
Yeah.
On
we need him
tunnel,
rolling
on
down the spirit tunnel.
Yes, we do. We do. Boss is
That'll there. Be when they have the Just Us podcast. That's when we... Oh! Listen, when we do the live episode...
We'll have Amir rolling. We're spirit tunneling and Amir's going to come down the spirit tunnel on his roller skates like Usher. And Usher, if you want to come on the show with your roller skates, we're happy to have you.
Y'all can do a little routine together.
Okay.
Next up, I'm going to save my thoughts for after I say the name. Oprah. I need to give Oprah 2 cards.
Jamil is our sound engineer. Jamil, what's going on over there? You having a moment?
Rolling. What am I going to say? What am I going to say?
Show and
buzz
it for movies.
Oh, no. I wasn't going to say that. No.
I'll give her 2 cards, too. But what are your 2 cards about?
Original.
Yes, original Oprah. I'm a boss her.
Boss it. And too rich to connect with the rest of the world, Oprah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. My modern Oprah as a talk show host.
Terrible.
Yeah, no.
Unrelatable.
Totally
disconnected. I'm sorry,
Oprah. But original Oprah,
original
boss
Oprah.
Her all day.
I mean, I felt she, like I wanted to be that.
Exactly. She set
standard. You know, part of my job used to be managing internal communications, so doing like employee events or town halls and stuff like that. And a couple of times we have this series where I did my Oprah Winfrey.
I love it.
Part of it, we sort of did like the Oprah Winfrey show, and I was like the Oprah, and it was fun.
That's just what I'm saying. Like,
but if I had to do it as modern day. No.
Yeah, call her, you say what, Oprah is my girl. But so bossing her, but this whole.
That's awesome. Yes.
But now, shout out to her as a business mogul, though.
I mean,
like,
undeniable.
You know, undeniable.
Let's just be real about
talk
that.
Talk show
but
host, hang up your microphone.
Yeah.
Like,
for
real.
With the quickness.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, there is another extension to that that we have to also recognize. Oprah's best friend.
You know what? Jamil is throwing up imaginary cards. Like,
you want to get in on a
whole deck of cards over there.
Even in it. I'm actually gonna boss you. How dare I?
I will say this about Gayle King, or AKA Oprah's best friend. Why I tossed her was some of her interviews are very problematic to the culture.
One that shall remain nameless, but includes somebody jumping up and threatening to walk out. Oh, that happened a couple of times. My bad.
I was going to say there are several in the problematic for the culture.
Right?
And she should know better.
She should know better.
And she has gone full Geraldo a few times on our national treasures. And I'm sorry, but as a so-called journalist and a black journalist, you know better, so you need to do better, Gayle.
Know better and do better.
However, and I'm tired of hearing her. I grew tired of introducing her saying, "I'm Oprah's best friend. I'm Oprah's best friend." It's like, dude,
that's
you know,
why
make it on your own merit.
Nobody's like, gonna know her name.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, so yeah, not.
So
not
I.
feeling it.
Tossed her. I mean, I bossed her, but I bossed her because I do think that she is funny and she has such a charming personality.
Yeah.
And she's been able to leverage that for her own success.
She's gotten better.
I mean, she was on CBS for like 15 years, so that's great.
Yeah.
But I am with you very much in the vein of original Oprah. And now, disconnected, can't relate, Oprah. Gayle is like that, too. Like, I don't care about those ugly shoes that she keeps hawking, the sneaker stiletto, or the whole going off into space thing. It just threw me off. But if she were to stick to her 9-to-5, She'd be awesome. I think she would be awesome.
In other words,
don't do those interviews.
Stay in her lane. Stay in her lane.
Stay away from the trying to be Barbara Walters.
And the gotcha and all of that.
Like, no, that's not you.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't, and it's not us.
Yeah.
It's not us friendly.
Next up, Tamron Hall.
I know I'm supposed to boss her, but I'm not a fan of the show.
I know.
She's our sorority sister, and I like her books. You know what it is like? I feel like she's almost overly polished and professional. That the authenticity isn't 100% there. Like when she's interviewing people, you could see the prep cards. When sometimes you just feel like, okay, just Tamron Hall's production people, just give her a bullet point and just let her go and have the conversation with the person. It's just, she's too.
Well, some people need that kind of structure because they may, you know, she might be super nervous without.
We have to have some black conversation around this.
Jamel, get your friend. Get your friend.
The woman is a professional.
Did you on this?
She is.
Oh, my God.
Me and Jamel are here this entire episode.
Moving on.
Nervous as a professional.
I was just trying to work with her. Karamo.
If I don't get nervous, Tamron Hall ain't going to be nervous.
Some people have stage fright. Karamo. Karamo.
I love Karamo. No, not Karamo.
I think he's boring. I'm sorry.
I love him.
You tossed everybody so far. I don't even know if
I love the man can dress, and I know he's on the other team. But he's a joy to watch. He's a joy to look at.
I don't think that matters.
But the thing that I really, really like about Karamo is that he brings all the drama and chaotic storytelling that, you know, the Maurys and, you know, and the circus TV, Jerry Springer, stuff like that. But he addresses all of that in such a measured, healthy, productive, supportive role. And I just, as someone who's learning to, you know, be a better talk show host and stuff,
learning from him.
Yeah, the level of emotional maturity and the level, like how he cuts through the chaos. He lets a little bit of it, but it never gets out of control.
Maybe that's why it's not exploitative. It's not.
And he is so healthy in what he's giving on the show, even though you tune in for the drama and the chaos, but you get some healthy navigation through it. And I just like that combination. So, yeah.
So you're saying it's not toxic.
And not maybe, the way he does it.
And maybe that's why.
Not the way that he does it.
I'm used to the chaos.
No, I like him because he's counter chaos. Like,
and speaking of chaos, Maury. I'm bossing it.
I'm bossing
it.
Maury's a boss.
He's the blueprint. OG.
He's the blueprint.
There's nothing else you need to say.
Maury vision, like, he's the blueprint.
He definitely is.
Not mad at
now,
Maury.
He did not start out the way it ended. He started out as a respectable talk show, much in the vein of, like, Phil Donahue, Oprah. And then, I don't know.
Yeah.
He latched on to one concept, and that boosted him into...
You are not the father.
You are not the father.
Like, I mean, anytime as a talk show host or a public figure, your catchphrase or part of what you do every day works its way into the lexicon. You gotta boss that. You gotta boss that.
To this day, you still hear people referencing that in movies,
TV,
walking down the street.
Yeah.
So, along those lines, I have a couple more that are going to sound familiar to you and I, but maybe not to some of these youngins out here.
Okay.
Jerry Springer.
Jerry. You know, I'm going to boss Jerry, like, just because of the circus of it all. Like, for, you know, like, he was the original ringmaster. Like,
absolutely.
You know, like,
he cultivated the chaos. Like, you purposely set this up to be chaotic, and you had your security standing by because you wanted the aha moment,
like he wasn't
the gotcha moment.
He wasn't the first to do it.
No.
There was Morton Downey Jr. You know, you're from Jersey. Do you remember him? You talk about circus TV.
Yes.
You know,
like,
there was crazy. There were others.
Yeah, it was the original.
You know, there were others. Geraldo was circus TV. Like, so there were some other, like, circus-oriented. But he just took that whole thing and just took it to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
Like, and just... like, I don't know if you can perfect circus TV, but if that's a thing,
he accomplished it.
That's what he did.
And then Jenny Jones. I'm definitely going to toss her. And I'm tossing her because she set herself up to be a true talk show, but she was also cultivating the chaos and in a more detrimental way.
Very.
Because she did it without, she did it with malice, I guess I would say.
She acted
to some of those people.
Absolutely. Like, she acted like she didn't believe what she was doing.
Like, right.
She,
like, oh, it was never just, that way.
Like, she didn't believe in what she was doing. So it came off as mean spirited. Gotcha TV.
Right.
And I was like, really? Like,
so for people out there who may not be familiar, oftentimes she would bring a guest
on. The makeover.
And she would bring someone else on to counter them, but with some kind of, ooh, big secret or big, I'm going to reveal this on this show, unbeknownst to the subject. And it was real life.
Yeah.
Unlike some of the other stuff, and she may have, I don't know if she paid people to come on and do that or not, but
it was the early days.
It was the early days,
TV,
and there was no kind of guardrails, and so it was kind of it was a little slimy.
Like, one of her favorite show formats was, you'd have Carrie and somebody's here to see you.
Yes.
Who's here to see you?
Yeah.
And it would be your crazy toxic ex that's been, you have to get a restraining order.
Like,
you know, but he lost 600 pounds and now he's a bodybuilder and he wants to show you.
And
that,
now you want him back.
That, and
no.
It's like, do you
want
to go out on a date? It's like, what are you doing? Like, why did you bring this fool here? Like, I don't care how muscular he is today.
Right.
Behind,
I know how crazy.
Like, yo, WTF, you know? Like, and she used to do that. And I'd be like, I think I would be mad if, you know, like, the surprise makeover show.
Yeah.
And you could be married with seven children and the whole nine, and she would cart your ex out because they got a makeover and wanted to have a secret reunion and show you what you're missing. Like,
stalkerism.
What? Stalkerism,
by
yeah.
some of this. And
there were lawsuits.
Stuff
and,
even more, unfortunately, detrimental happened.
And
she just was
She projected a
terrible.
Complete... that she was devoid completely of any empathy for her guests.
Yeah.
I mean, like, now Maury, Jerry, they brought the chaos, but they acted, they projected some display of empathy for you know, the folks that participated in the circus on their show.
And the thing with Jerry, another reason I'll boss him is because some of his stuff was scripted, and he made no bones about it. Like, you know, like, we're having fun. I'm entertaining you.
We talk about the power of authenticity. We talk about that a lot on this show. And I think there's a lot of, like, lessons around these and how, like, Maury, Jerry, how they built their brands because they lean into their own authenticity. Jenny Jones didn't work for me because I didn't believe her. I didn't think there was anything authentic about her.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Jerry was a genuine person, because at one point he was mayor.
Yeah, he was a mayor.
I think it was Cleveland,
Cincinnati, Ohio. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Jenny Jones, we tossed to the depths of you know what.
Mm-hmm.
How about Ricky Lake?
Oh, Ricky Lake, the original Vlad before Culture Vulture, but I kind of like Ricky Lake.
I'm going to boss Ricky Lake. And here's my reason for bossing Ricky. Ricky Lake was teeny bop talk show.
Yeah.
She was for the young kids coming home from high school and wanting to watch that. That's what her
like
show
a
was for.
Drama vision, little drama, little chaos, yeah, little show, fun.
Her show was not a serious
She didn't
show.
Take herself so seriously.
No, at all. And she had fun people on.
She did, and she was adjacent to multiple cultures.
Right, she was.
And she didn't try too hard to go to connect and relate, even when she clearly didn't understand what was going on the show. But I have to give her a shout out, too, because she was a pretty good actress. Like, she did some...
She was.
You know, like...
Or is. I don't know what she's doing
I don't know
days.
What she's doing now, but I kind of... I don't know. There's something about Ricky Lake that I like, so I'd boss her.
Yeah. I'm going to boss her.
Yeah.
Phil Donahue.
Ooh. I'm going to boss Phil Donahue.
You have to.
Because he's like the original OG. He like kind of started the whole talk show, daytime talk show.
His format.
As a viable format
and
genre.
There were talk shows before him, but they were all like entertainment driven. He was one of the first to really like nationwide, I mean.
And how to syndicate
like, dig in.
Yeah. Yeah. How to make it profitable. Watchable and relatable.
And address topics of interest.
And I used to love to watch him run across the studio and dive across the laps of the viewers and stuff like that.
And a fun part of his show was like the live call-in.
The call-in. Yeah, Oprah perfected
yeah,
that.
She
but
did
like,
too. She did
the,
too.
The
but yeah, that originally came from him.
From Phil Donahue. Shout out to him.
Budding journalism major and potential future at the time entertainment person. I loved watching Phil Donahue. He was an icon.
I liked Phil Donahue too because he had a broad range of guests on, and sometimes he was like the viewer. He didn't understand where these people were coming from.
He had some controversial stuff,
and
he
didn't shy away from the controversy.
He did not.
He also didn't judge or try to sway or
no. He
or
tried to
fan
really
flame.
Understand.
He was literally
the perspectives.
Just, exactly. He was just creating a platform to have the dialogue, and I appreciate that about
if
Phil
you
Donahue.
Don't know who Phil Donahue is,
Google
look him up. Check him out. You'll understand why
we
do.
I like the signature white hair, too.
He did.
I don't know why, but I did. It worked for him.
I can relate.
Shout out to Phil Donahue.
Okay. Here's another one. Geraldo Rivera. Can I? Just keep it going.
You mean Jerry Rivers?
Right. That man is a problem. That's what they say. He is problematic
on
from
so many
just
levels.
So many levels. So many
so
levels.
Many levels.
And I don't know what made his show so popular. Do you? I'm waiting for an answer.
Jerry Rivers, who became Geraldo Rivera.
Well, you know, he changed his name at a time when it was not popular to be ethnic.
He made his whole career, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
he masqueraded as a journalist
mm-hmm.
who became adept at throwing the race card like a ninja star in the worst
Completely.
Possible ways for ratings and
Completely.
And everything. And I'm so thankful he's not on the air today because it would be so problematic because he'd be fanning the flames
oh
on
God.
Both sides.
Yes, absolutely.
And, yeah, Like, I think he tapped into the energy that that is pervasive today in a time when reality TV and talk shows, it was still a little Wild Wild Westy out there. Mm-hmm. And the circus vision was still okay.
Yeah.
And everything. But there was a definite perspective in terms of who he kept giving the microphone to over and over and over and over again to almost set a stage where certain perspectives got to mm-hmm. be legitimized. Yeah. And a lot of those perspective have reared their ugly heads.
Absolutely.
In our current
in the worst way.
Mm-hmm. Environment.
Yeah.
Did I say that nicely without saying it?
You did. You okay. didn't have to say it nicely, though. You could have just.
I mean, I could have, but
said
I just.
It how we thinking it.
I you know, it's. Yeah, no. It's just.
He.
You talk about race baiting. You talk about.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, how many times can we, since we're going to make it plain, how many times do you really need to see Ku Klux Klanmen, like, you know, arguing with black folks on TV? Like, that serves nobody.
Not a one. Now, there is only one thing that I will give him my thank you for. His interview with the Jackson family.
Oh, yeah.
Sparked one of my favorite lines to use over and over again. I didn't beat them kids, hello, though. you know, if there's one thing I have, it's a pop culture reference list.
Well, okay, so if he had stuck with celebrity interviewing...
Yeah, you I give might, him I, a little bit more...
I might... give him boss adjacent energy, but
not full boss.
But the race baiting and all of that nonsense, and he just built a whole career, and then he kind of got like overtly political and everything. And you're like, yeah, we know whose team.
The latter days were terrible.
Like, no, I'm all for circus vision, but when you start throwing all the race cards in there, I'm not feeling it. Sorry, not sorry.
What about Sherry Shepherd?
I like Sherry Shepherd.
You do?
I do.
I'm a boss her too.
I do. Sherry Shepherd is like I could see her coming out and hanging with us, like, and doing this and doing Boss It or Toss It or whatever. Like,
absolutely. I think she would like this segment.
I think so. Sherry Shepherd, if you're out there, come.
We gonna
come on the show.
We gonna make sure she sees this.
Come on the show.
Come
Sherry.
On, Sherry.
Let's
tell us how you boss
comment.
It, girl.
If you're watching one of the shorts, at her or share this at her in the comments or whatever. But I think like she likes someone you know, like you don't know, but you know her. Like
she's like your neighborhood
girl.
Home girl.
Yeah,
that's
she's a
lot. She's entertaining. She could be funny.
She's fun. I mean, I like her as an actress. I like her as a comedian. Like, I've always liked her throughout her entire career. And I think she's a really effective talk show host.
She is. She definitely is. And she's been successful.
And she don't need a spirit tunnel to... Never mind.
She don't need a spirit tunnel.
My bad. I'm sorry. My bad. Jennifer, your mug is coming.
Yeah.
I promise. I'm going to send Jennifer the mug. My bad. I'm sorry.
Okay, next one. How do I...
Uh-oh.
Wendy. I'm just going to say Wendy.
Wendy
Williams.
Radio Wendy or TV Wendy?
All of the above.
Whew. I'm going to have to... Only because I respect the OG. I respect her. She created the blueprint for a lot of the other people on this list, but she's just, I wasn't the target demographic for her brand.
I'm bossing her.
Whatever.
I'm bossing her. Now, let me say this. I may not love everything she did, but she did everything she did. Like,
she
that
did.
Was...
She did.
And she...
She did.
For whatever reason, people navigated to her. Wendy was must-listen radio.
Yeah, she was.
And... I mean, her show was bad when it first started, but after a couple of years, it was really good. And people, I didn't get a chance to watch it because, you know, I had a job, but people watched it and loved it. And every day I was seeing clips of what people watched on Wendy.
I didn't get it. I'm going to
give her, I just got to give her props because she reinvigorated talk show.
She's kind of like, I'll put her in my Tyler Perry category. Like, I'm not the target demographic for her brand.
That can't
of...
be your outlet.
No, I'm just saying, I'm not the target demographic. Like, and the stuff that I listened to, it didn't resonate with me. She wasn't talking to me. I couldn't really connect with her. I didn't like her, you know, the gossip and the blind items. So
that's what people love.
So clearly I listen, right? Because I have a long,
right.
I have
you
a long
know the
commute,
format
like,
of the own
but
show.
But it just
hate listen.
I can't say it was a hate listen. It was just she was less unappealing than the people down the dial. So she was just on. Listen, I didn't really like Charlamagne when he was on there. I'm not a fan of him now. But,
I'm definitely
not
a fan of him
but
now.
But whatever.
I would
like,
toss him all day.
You know, like, I just wasn't I wasn't buying what she was selling.
Yeah.
But, which is why I tossed it. But, you know, she's the blueprint. She created the blueprint and she did all the things, broke all the barriers. If we didn't have a Wendy, we wouldn't have... A Jay Hud, well, that's a bad example. We didn't have a Wendy. We
wouldn't
have
a
Sherry Shepherd.
She took over her show.
Or a Tamron Hall or some of these other folks and stuff like
Agreed.
So shout out to Wendy Williams. And I hate, you know, what happened with her later in life with the whole thing and everything. She's an OG. She's a pioneer. You know, she deserves all the flowers. But her shows just didn't speak to me.
I
didn't like
That's fair.
Not everything's for everybody. No. She just wasn't for me.
Agreed. Now, this final entry is a pair of up-and-comers.
Oh, okay. Nice
and
up-and-comers.
They don't have a lot of listeners, watchers now, but I see such potential for them in the future.
Oh, okay.
You want to know what I'm talking about?
I gotta follow them. Let's support them on the show.
Okay. It's us. Oh. Me and you. You gonna boss us or toss us?
I'm bossing
I'm
us
bossing
all day. Amir's bossing us. Jamil is even bossing us.
He bossed one.
List, but he finally bossed us. So
he better boss us. I'm glad you know that, son.
Yeah,
I'm glad you know that.
My mom is bossing us.
Your mom is bossing
Shout
us.
Shout out to my hey mom. Milk is bossing us.
I gotta say, you know, even though he's not a female in corporate America, I don't think my dad has heard the show.
We have to change that.
I know. I need to make sure he listens. You're right. Please boss us.
And J-Hud boss us.
J-Hud, your mug.
And Tyler Perry boss. Okay, it might be too late. My bad. It's too late for all of that, but no. But I would boss us.
Yeah, I would definitely boss us.
We're on the come up. We made the list. That's what's up. We in the lexicon now.
Boss it or toss it is.
What?
We brought that to the table.
It's
the culture.
Yeah. Thank you. And you're welcome.
Thank you. And you're welcome.
And you're welcome. Oh, man. Good job,
All right.
Carrie.
That's our show.
That's our show for today. We'll see you in the next episode.
In the next episode.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay.